Welcome to the Newsbusters podcast with the executive editor of Newsbusters, your host, Tim Graham.
Hello and welcome to our shock and surprise that Mr. Christopher Cuomo can't come to the studio in Manhattan and mount his primetime throne. At least not for now. I had written a column in the afternoon before the big judgment, and I concluded the perfect solution after all this lying is to fire Cuomo. But Cuomo is their highest rated host and their political brand. CNN is a smash-mouth network for shameless Democrats. No one can expect this perfect solution. And then I drove home and found out, he was suspended. Well, he isn't fired, but he is off the air for now. So I emailed Creator Syndicate out in California and said, is it too late to edit the column? They said no. So I was able to update it and not look silly like I wasn't aware of what was going on. Cuomo never resigned under great pressure like his brother. He was just removed like a bad pimple on CNN's face. It might not mean much in the end. The pimple might return. We all know Jeffrey Toobin returned to the air after being suspended 8 months. He was there sitting next to Anderson Cooper in the suddenly Cuomo-less studio last night. But this is something. There was a little shaming after all this shamelessness. I wrote a column after Andrew Cuomo resigned in August saying Chris should resign too. I didn't expect it, but it should have happened. Back then, in August, Christopher Cuomo claimed, "I'm not an advisor, I'm a brother. I wasn't in control of anything. I was there to listen and offer my take, and my advice to my brother was simple and consistent." There's a lot of confusion about this. You know, for him to try to say, I wasn't an advisor, I'm a brother. No, you're both. The documents that were released here by the Attorney General of New York showed Chris was a very aggressive advisor, using what the New York Times called his vast network of sources in and outside of media to attempt to keep his brother's political career intact. He was out there trying to learn who was working on which stories and what damaging information he could dig up on his brother's accusers. He was correct to say, for him, it was family first and job second. He didn't say, I'm going to take a few months off from my job and help my family. That's not what he did. He used the job as a means to help the family. He used his prestige and his connections to try to help his brother. Well, try to help his brother do what? And that is suppress a sexual harassment probe. There's a lot of people out there who sympathize with this idea of, hey, he's helping his brother. Wouldn't we all want to do that? Well, the obvious answer is, it depends on what my brother is doing. If he's driving through people at a Christmas parade, hey, no bail. If your brother keeps touching women inappropriately and asking about their sex lives and touching their face and creeping them out, a brother really should say, Andrew, how old are you? Or, have you heard of Harvey Weinstein? Or this, have you thought about what your daughters will think of this? Do you want this happening to them where they work? Can you imagine what people say to them about you? A brother should be a reality check. I don't think that's what happened in this case. What Chris Cuomo did here, journalism aside, is counsel his brother to fight, fight, fight. Or, hey, it's like the old Tom Lehrer tune. Fight fiercely, Andrew. Fight, fight, fight. Demonstrate to them our skill. Albeit they possess the might, nevertheless, we have the will. It was all about trying to get these women discredited. It was an anti-feminist strategy. CNN doesn't like to think of itself as anti-feminist, unless, of course, the women accusing a politician are accusing a Democrat. What the Cuomos had going here had all that bros over hoes energy. Curtis Houck pinged me last night, said, hey, check out Dan Abrams live on News Nation. And Abrams, who maybe was trying to make himself appointment TV, suggested he didn't see any ethical issue with anything Chris did because, hey, it's family. Abrams even didn't see any ethical issue with the whole Smothers Brothers routine in 2020 of Chris interviewing Andrew. He didn't acknowledge that Chris slobbered all over Andrew and suggested he should run for president, suggested he was being called the love gov.
Now, you know, I've seen you referred to a little bit recently as the love gov, and I'm wondering if that's bleeding into your demeanor at all, making you a little soft.
False. Do you think False. That you are an attractive person now because you're single and ready to mingle? Do you really think you are some desirable single person?
I mean, why not? Bill Clinton did all his sexual harassing and assaulting, and Hillary let him because they were family. Hillary never really seemed to care. You know, they had this whole phony baloney notion that she, you know, she was gasping for breath when he admitted that he and Monica were kind of a thing. Nobody should believe that. Just as nobody should believe it when the same tired routine gets dragged out with Mrs. Anthony Weiner. Oh, I had no idea my husband was a creep. So, at least Dan Abrams had Eric Wemple on from the Washington Post. He came on to sort of oppose Dan's ethics schmethics point of view. Wemple quite rightly said, this brother conflict is exactly what media ethics were created to address. When is there a moment where your conflict of interest is too strong and somebody needs to step in and say, there are certain things you should not do? And in this case, I think that if you decided you were going to become part of your brother's communications team and attend meetings, yes, you should have stepped aside. But in today's cable game, they don't do that. He decided, I'm a popular host. I'm going to do both. I'm going to have the best of both worlds. I'm going to go in there and tell everybody what to do, and I'm going to have my top-rated show. Yeah, in this case, Chris parachuted in like he was the best lawyer in all of New York. He has a very high opinion of himself. Cuomo said he was in a panic about how the governor's team was handling the accusations, and he pleaded to let me help with the prep with the media. He was drafting his own proposed statements for his brother to read, including one referencing cancel culture. Here we go again with the whole idea that somehow women who are saying he touched me inappropriately, he touched my breast, oh, they're trying to get him canceled. The documents in this probe also showed that Chris used a royal we. You need to trust me, Chris pleaded with the governor's secretary, Melissa DeRosa, at one point in March. We are making mistakes we can't afford. He also texted he was happy when New York State Assembly Speaker Carl Hastie, quote, used our language, unquote. He was very much on Team Cuomo, and he was on CNN. Back in July, DeRosa told investigators, quote, Chris sends me a lot of things a lot of the time. Half of it I don't engage in. He gives unsolicited advice, unquote. Yeah, he's smarter than anyone else, he thinks. But in reality, he was a clumsy liar. Even the CNN report on this matter noted, Cuomo also said on the air in August, I never made calls to the press about my brother's situation. Wrong. He lied in his testimony to the Attorney General's probe. He said, I would, when asked, reach out to sources, other journalists, to see if they had heard of anything else coming out. Chris Cuomo wasn't facts first. He was lies first. This suspension took a little too much time. On Monday night, they put Chris Cuomo on the air after these documents came out and people could read them, and they were being spread all over Twitter. And then Cuomo had the overweening chutzpah to lecture the Biden administration about how they needed to offer full disclosure about the coming Omicron variant of the coronavirus. Cuomo said,
"Don't continue this pattern of us having to catch that there were things that you knew that you could have told us and didn't. Please, let's do better."
Chris Cuomo's level of shamelessness is absolutely world class. Nick Nike trained Fondacaro tweeted out he had a theory about why this suspension happened when it did. David Zaslav, the head of Discovery Media, which purchased Warner Media and hence CNN, visited the network's Hudson Yard offices in Manhattan yesterday in a get-to-know-you session with Jeff Zucker and about a dozen top managers at CNN, including some in Washington and Atlanta. Nick suggests or imagines that Zaslav might have said, "Why haven't we suspended this guy already?" in that meeting. It's plausible that Zaslav made this happen. Sad that it took that, but plausible. So this could be very brief. On New Day, Brian Stelter said, "This was a long time coming." That's the, okay, so this has been brewing internally, but you have no sign of it from the outside. Then he suggested this suspension may be about a month.
Yeah, some news about our own house here, John. And of course, Chris, a former co-anchor of New Day, now CNN's primetime host, one of the highest rated hosts on CNN. This was a long time coming. Cuomo in the news all year long because of his brother and because of the scandal involving the now former governor. It was known that Chris Cuomo was talking to his brother, giving political advice. But in the newly released documents, you can see that Chris Cuomo is essentially working as an unpaid advisor, an aide, as if he is a staffer of the governor's, giving political advice, giving commentary, also working his own sources to try to find out more about what might be revealed about his brother. Here's the statement from CNN overnight about the suspension, saying when Chris admitted to us that he had offered advice to his brother's staff, he broke our rules and we acknowledged that publicly. But we also appreciated the unique position he was in and understood the need to put family first and job second. However, these documents point to a greater level of involvement in his brother's efforts than we previously knew. And as a result, we have suspended Chris indefinitely pending further evaluation. So that's a statement from CNN executives overnight. I think what's going on here is a little bit complicated, John. You've got media critics condemning Chris, calling on CNN to take action. You have some colleagues here at CNN who were mad at Chris Cuomo for putting the network in a tough spot and wanted to see action. You also have a lot of viewers, though, who love Chris Cuomo and are now ticked off that he's off the air and they want to see him back. So there's a mixture of relief, disappointment. It's a complicated situation. I think the bottom line is that Cuomo is on the bench for now. We're heading into a holiday season. I think it's possible he will be on the bench for several weeks. It's possible he'll be back in January. But I think what's going to happen now here at CNN is a more thorough review of the New York Attorney General's document dump in order to find out more about what happened.
This is also what Oliver Darcy said in the Reliable Sources newsletter. It's possible that Cuomo, who frequently ranks as the highest rated host on the network, will remain on the bench for weeks. Weeks. It's a decision no TV boss wants to make, but given Cuomo's brazen violation of some of the most basic journalistic protocols, it was clear something had to be done. Yeah, but this might look like window dressing. I mean, Tubin had 8 months off. If Cuomo has 1 month off, doesn't that feel more like an extended vacation? And hasn't CNN mocked Fox for somebody going on a vacation for a couple of weeks? Darcy also tells us after the news was made public, an emotional Cuomo met with members of his shell-shocked team to talk things over. Well, that would have also been interesting to listen to. And then, of course, there was utter panic among the Anderson Cooper staffers because somehow they were left with the bag of how to fill the Cuomo hour. You would think the Cuomo producers, if they were already making a show, would just like hand off their notes to the Cooper people. Anyway, the New York Times called this whole thing a slow-moving headache for CNN. All right, but, you know, again, was the New York Times or the Washington Post making this an added headache, or did they just forget about it for months at a time? The Washington Post noted that on his Sirius XM radio show on Tuesday, Chris said his brother resigned when there wasn't going to be due process and his party was against him. Then he had no choice because he couldn't do the work of the state anymore. Yes, complain that there's no such thing as due process. Well, this isn't going to court. Did Clarence Thomas get due process during his Supreme Court nomination? Did Brett Kavanaugh get due process? Did Chris Cuomo ever care about that? A lot of times in sex scandals, or in this case, a sex harassment scandal, they don't necessarily go to court. Now, you could say in this case, this was a government investigation by the Attorney General of the state who was a Democrat. Now Cuomo, of course, running around saying, well, Letitia James wants my job. That's why she did this. Or you could even argue Letitia James putting out all these notes certainly doesn't help either of the Cuomos. So maybe you could argue there's something there. But again, the media should be in favor of more disclosure and not less. So we shall see what happens next. But I think that obviously Chris Cuomo is he going to learn anything from all of this? I don't think he will. I don't think he really feels that he did anything wrong, because he always wants to basically say he's the good guy who's family first. Well, the answer to all of this is CNN shouldn't have hired somebody from this massively famous a Democrat family. These networks just can't help but employ, you know, Maria Shriver from the Kennedy family, Jenna Bush from the Bush family, Laura Jarrett from Valerie Jarrett's family. I mean, there's just a lot of that over there. I mean, I guess the difference in this case, we don't have any stories of where Jenna Bush was doing the Bush family's bidding inside. I mean, the difference, I guess, is that the Bush family was sort of out of politics by the time that she, you know, ascended within NBC. I mean, NBC hired Chelsea Clinton, paid her big bucks to do next to nothing, file stupid reports about llamas. I mean, there's just, we would say there's too much of that in general. They're trying to hire people with famous names to get ratings. But nobody was more prominent or more in your face than Christopher Cuomo. And of course, he started at ABC News. ABC was trying not to cover this story this week because they hired him first. They gave him journalistic cred by having him at ABC. The answer is, yes, don't necessarily hire family members and expect them to be able to report on their own family members. I mean, that is a glaring conflict of interest, and everybody who does it deserves to have the media critics investigate them and keep on top of things. Final thought, as we record, the Supreme Court is discussing having oral arguments in the case Dobbs versus Jackson's Women Health Organization. Yes, when you do abortions, you're a women's health organization. You're certainly not a baby's health organization. The early media spin on this is exactly what we would suspect. The framing is based on fear. Oh no, a strongly conservative court might overturn Roe versus Wade and restrict a woman's right to choose. Choose what? You love how they don't use the word abortion half the time. NPR's Nina Totenberg went on Twitter. She added the court might overturn subsequent decisions that for a half century have said women have the right to terminate a pregnancy until the fetus is able to survive outside the womb about 24 weeks. Yes, this is the standard media terminology, which is not exactly humanitarian, which is the unborn child in the womb is a pregnancy or a fetus. So as the Supreme Court discusses the killing of babies over 15 weeks old, let's just remember, your so-called mainstream media over the decades has lauded the late-term abortionist as literally a lifesaver. They've done documentaries on those rare heroes who do abortions in the third trimester. Meanwhile, this same so-called mainstream media has a much harsher moral judgment of Americans who have chosen to be unvaccinated. I mean, right now you've got CNBC host Jim Cramer running around demanding the military somehow being used to round up the unvaccinated.
Lawfully unvaccinated? That's psychotic. We have companies that have tried hard to get people vaccinated and now backing down. We have governors who want to be president by grandstanding on a foolish states' rights issue, the right to get sick and get other people sick. So it's time to admit that we have to go to war against COVID. Require vaccination universally. Have the military run it. If you don't want to get vaccinated, you better be ready to prove your conscientious objector status in court. And even then, you need to help in the war effort by staying home until we finally beat this thing. Then you know what would happen? Oh, there would be a new variant in some unvaccinated part of the world. Then someone flies here from there, and some of us will get a flu, and we'll take a pill from Pfizer once it can ramp up its antiviral, and it'll be like influenza. Now, it will kill some, but not many. Maybe 50,000, the average flu deaths for the last decade, not 500,000. Until the federal government gets serious and starts requiring vaccinations nationwide, you better get used to more COVID variant freakouts like we had last Friday. They represent our sorry, no good, all our fault future. And it will keep being our fault until our leaders stop bending over backwards for the not so conscientious objectors.
COVID offers the threat of death, but not the certainty of death. They think you have a right to choose abortion, but not a right to refuse vaccination. I'm vaccinated, and I root for more Americans to get vaccinated. But the left has a strange way of dissecting life and death issues, or right to my body issues. So we will see what happens there. It's kind of nice that the oral arguments are being aired live on cable, the audio is being aired live on cable. I think probably most Americans don't have a really great idea of who is on the Supreme Court, or certainly the idea that the justices on both sides of the Supreme Court are bringing a lot of intellect to these debates, and that people who are actually listening to these oral arguments might learn something. It's certainly more edifying than your average hour of cable news. So, I mean, and we kind of giggle at the idea that if MSNBC is airing live Supreme Court testimony or justice questioning, there's a lot of unedited conservative speech going on MSNBC. We will take it when we can get it. So come around for everything that happens in the days to come. Come to Newsbusters once, twice, 24 times a day. Thanks for listening.